I hope you ain't being unpatriotic, said Colon severely. Nah, of course not. I was just asking. I can see where they'd be a lot worse than ours, being foreign and everything. And of course, they're all mad for fighting, said Colon. Vicious buggers with all those curvy swords of theirs. You mean like they viciously attack you while cowardly running away after tasting cold steel? Said Nobby, who sometimes had a treacherously good memory for detail. You can't trust them, like I said. And they burp hugely after meals.
Well, so do you, Sarge.
Yes, but I don't pretend it's polite, Nobby.
Well, it's certainly a good job there's you around to explain things, Sarge, said Nobby. It's amazing the stuff you know.
I surprise myself sometimes, said Colon modestly. The painter of the ship leaned back to admire his work. They heard him give a heartfelt little groan, and both of them nodded in satisfaction. Hostage negotiations were always tricky, Carrot had learned. It paid not to rush things. Let the other man talk when he was ready. So he was whiling away the time, sitting behind the upturned cart they were using as a shield from the occasional random arrow, and writing his letter home. The exercise was carried out with much frowning, sucking of the pencil, and what Commander Vimes called a ballistic approach to spelling and punctuation. Dear Mum and Dade, I hope this letter finds you in good health as I am also. Thank you for the big parcel of dwarf bread you sent me. I have shared it with the other dwarfs on the watch, and they say it is better even than Ironcrafts to bread with to edge. And you can't beat the taste of a home-forged loaf. So well done, Mum. Things are going well with the wolf pack that I have told you about, but Commander Vimes is not happy. I told him they were good lads at heart and it would help them to learn the ways of nature and the wilderness, and he said, ha, they know them already, that is the trouble. But he gave me $5 to buy a football, which proves he cares deep down. We have more new feces in the watch, which is just as well with this trouble with Clatch. It is all looking very grave. I feel it is the clam before the storm, and no mistake. I must break off now, because some robbers have broke into Vortin's diamond warehouse and have taken Corporal Angua hostage. I fear there may be terrible bloodshed, so I remain your loving son, Carrot Iron Founderson, Captain. P.S. I will write again tomorrow. Carrot folded the letter carefully and slipped it under his breastplate. I think they've had long enough to consider our suggestion, Constable. What's next on the list? Constable Shu leafed through a file of grubby paper and pulled out another sheet. Well, we're down to offences of stealing pennies off blind beggars now, he said. Oh, no, this is a good one. Carrot took the sheet in one hand and a megaphone in the other and raised his head carefully over the edge of the cart. Good morning again, he said brightly. We found another one. Theft of jewellery from...
Yes, yes, we did it, shouted a voice from the building.
Really? I haven't even said when it was yet, said Carrot.
Never mind, we did it. Now, can we come out, please?
There was another sound behind the voice. It sounded like a low, continuous growl. I think you ought to be able to tell me what you stole, said Carrot.
Rings. Gold rings?
Sorry, no rings mentioned.
Pearl necklace. Yes, that's what it was.
Getting warmer, but no.
Earrings?
Ooh, you're so close, said Carrot encouragingly.
A crown, was it? Maybe a coronet?
Carrot leaned down to the constable. Says here a tiara, Reg. Can we let that... He stood up.
We're prepared to accept coronet. Well done.
He looked down at Constable Shu again. This is all right, isn't it, Reg? It's not coercion, is it? Can't see how it can be, Captain. I mean, they broke in. They took a hostage. I suppose you're right.
Please, no. Good boy. Down.
Seems to be about it, sir, said Reg Shu, peering around the edge of the cart. We've got them down for everything but the Hyde Park flasher.